Yes. How about you?
Yes.
I'm his and he's mine.
Yes.
He's got my back. Matter of fact, my back, front, and side. All about me, he's aware of. And I just thank the Lord. You ever find yourself in a place where you just feel a blessing coming on?
Yes.
Yeah, now, I don't always have that feeling, you know. Sometimes it may feel like trouble is on the horizon, you know. Sometimes it feel like there's saying uncertainty and it's kind of, you know, kind of cloudy. And we just keep on crying out to the Lord. But every now and then, I have this overwhelming sense of a blessing coming on. Praise God. I know the one who blesses us. Amen. And he has our best interest at heart. And I just want to share today that from the subject the Lord put on my heart, I believe it was last Sunday right after church. Amen. Unity in Christ is a necessity. Can I borrow amen? I'll pay y'all back a little bit later. But unity in Christ is a necessity.
Amen.
It's a necessity because we, as a church, are the only Bible that some people will ever read.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Unity in Christ is essential for God to be able to move in us and do with us and through us of his good pleasure. Unity in Christ is a necessity to be in Christ. And so I begin to just think about it. The word unity, you know, unity is oneness. Unity is being on one accord. Unity is a condition of harmony. Unity is the opposite of division. So unity in Christ is a necessity. See, you know, there comes a time to where you know we can do a lot of outreach. And that's a good thing, but there need to be some inreach as well. To make sure there's unity within the inreach. You know, the scripture says in Amos 3:3, it talks about how can two walk together unless they be agreed. And what do we agree on? We agree on who Jesus is. We agree on God Almighty who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. We agree on the fact that we're saved by the blood of Jesus. What Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, you know. So we're living in the United States of America. But right now we don't see a whole lot of unity. We see division. We see barriers. We see hatred. We see separation. We see prejudices. But this is the United States of America that was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles. All through the Constitution, it points to who God is. There's a necessity for unity in the body of Christ. They have an airline called United Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've had some issues too. You still know they're united when you see them go by. They got the little red, white, and blue on the tail. They say they're united. I don't know if we was to take a poll of every flyer, every passenger, and say, how did United treat you? See, I don't know just what that might be. I remember there's an organization called the United Way. Sounds real good. They've done a lot of good things. But a few years ago, there were some questions about where the money was going. See, unity in Christ is a necessity. United we stand. And what?
Ooh,
hallelujah. I want to stand, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. And I want to stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, unity is important. Unity is very important. You look at the family relationship, there needs to be unity. There needs to be harmony within the bounds of our homes.
Yes.
And as you all well know, that's not always the case. And sometimes the children are battered and scattered and shattered because there's no unity between mom and dad. I'm just saying, unity in Christ is a necessity. See, we see all of these external things. Have you ever seen folks walking down the street maybe a man and woman, you can tell that they're not even on the same page. I don't know about y'all, but you know, every now and then I observe stuff. You know, you see a fella trying to grab her hand and she got and they're walking together, they're going in the same direction, but they're not together. Have you ever pulled up to a stop sign and folks in the car next to you fighting and arguing with each other?
Yeah.
We just drive. But they're in the same car. You know. And so, you know, unity in Christ is a necessity, especially within the bounds of the church. You see. And again, unity is the opposite of division. You know, the church in Corinth had a lot of issues. And churches today have a lot of issues. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, now I plead with you, brother. That's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. That's talking about those who have acknowledged who Jesus is.
Yes.
And still have some issues? Hello? Yeah, see, if we don't allow the Spirit of God, don't let me get ahead of myself, but if we don't allow the Spirit of God to rule and reign in our life, we'll find ourselves divided. He said, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Who is Jesus? Who is God? What is sin? You know, where is heaven? You know, well, you know, what's the cure for sure? It's all about, we need, he says, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and there be no, watch this, divisions among you. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Let this mind be in you, which was also in who?
Christ
Jesus. Amen. That's I want to have the mind of Christ. Because, excuse me, my mind has caused me a lot of trouble in my lifetime. You know, I'm just now, look, I'm just being straight. So there ain't no need to think. I ain't crying holy all my life. The Lord brought me from someplace.
Yes.
And I am so grateful. Amen. I am so grateful to the Lord that I'm not who I used to be.
Amen.
I may not be where I want to be, but I'm a long way from where I used to be. And guess what? I know where I'm going.
Yes.
I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
And I've learned through the Word of God what God requires. He requires that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly before our God. Unity in Christ is a necessity. And I begin to look at some different passages of Scripture. I say, Paul talked about unity to the Ephesians. He talked about unity to the Colossians, the church at Colossae. He talked about unity to the, you name the churches, and he talked about the importance of being united. It's so important, see. So let me just jump headlong into the passage here. Just six verses today out of Ephesians chapter 4. But they're deep verses. They're important verses. That, you know, I don't want to just read over God's word. I'm at a point in my life I want to understand what God has not only said to the church, but what God, what you're saying to me. Before I pick flies off anybody else, I got to get myself straight. You know, have the word of God ever checked you? Have you ever been, you know, going on and the Word of God, he can say, let me, thank you, God, you're showing me who I am. You're showing me who you are. And God, I want to trust you because I can't be united with anything or anybody if I'm not united in Christ. If I don't know who I am in Christ, I'm messed up. And for so many years, I thought I had it together. I thought I was, you know, you talk, oh yeah, I'm good. And I was tore up from the flow up, as they say. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. Because now that we're in Christ, there's a new way of living. There's a new way of walking. There's a new way of talking. See?
Yes.
And in order for us to do what God wants us to do, we have to be on one accord. So in verse 1 of chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is talking here. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. And he says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Any prisoners in here? Come on. Don't be shy. Are you a prisoner of the Lord?
Yes.
Do you belong to Jesus?
Yes.
Do you have holy chains binding your arms and legs together?
Yes.
Do you sing the old song that Jesus got a hook in my mouth and I don't want to get loose? Are you a prisoner of the Lord to where you've got to do what he told you to do? The pastor may come to you, the deacon may come, somebody may come to you and they have a plan, but you say, but God said, see, are you a prisoner that for God I'll live, for God I'll die? Are you sold out, going to hold out for the Lord? Paul had a charge upon his life to be an apostle to the Gentiles. After being a strong warrior for the Jewish traditions and law. But God changed his life around. And now he surrendered to God. How important is it to surrender to God? Anybody in there? You know what I'm saying? In my unsaved days, when the police say, stick him up. Now, I know some of y'all have no clue what I'm talking about, but if the big star man, that's the police call that big star on the door. If the big star man says, stick him up, I advise you to put him up. But I tell you, when you come to know Jesus, when you know that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven, when you hear the joy bells ringing and the song of Zion going forth, you hear prayer going forth, your hands go up, surrender. God, I give it up to you.
Amen.
See, that's what I mean, a priest, talking about being a prisoner. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Thank you, God, for arresting me. Thank you for putting me on Street Street. Took me off of Broadway. Y'all remember the old song, Down on Broadway? Don't play like you, that's it. But we're on Straight Street now. Thank you, Lord. Ain't nothing on Broadway for me but stop signs and right turns and left. That's it. See? So, all right. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, he said, I beseech you, I urge you, I beg you. He's talking to the church. To walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Can I take one more poll? I don't want to impose on y'all too much today. But if you have a calling on your life and you know it, could I see your hand? See. So, who is he talking to? He's talking to us. He says, walk worthy of the call. That means doing our due diligence to do that which God has called us to do. It don't leave room for me to have my own way. It means for me that God's way will always be first.
Amen.
Because unity is a necessity for the church. So he says, and how do we do that? With all lowliness and gentleness. Jesus was meek and lowly, humble and holy. That should be us too. I don't have to remind anybody no more who I used to be. Because if I keep going there, I'm evidently not delivered. Say, I tell you what, if you ever said that 30 years ago. No, I know I've been. Anybody know you've been changed?
Yes.
He says, so what, we ought to walk worthy. Whatever your calling is, walk worthy of that. Giving God the glory, let Christ be seen in whatever it is that he has called us to do. To God be the glory. For the things that he has done. It's not about me, it's not about you, but it's about Jesus. He said, with all lowliness and gentleness. So we need to be kind to folks. Because our Father, he's been kind to us. Brother Chuck had shared a scripture a couple years ago and it jumped off the page in Luke 6 and 35. Says that he, talking about Jesus, is kind to ungrateful and evil men. What a God we serve. I don't know about y'all, but that made me put the ugly face on and show up when I start thinking about how good God has been to me and how unfit I was for the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, it means something to thank God for who you are in Jesus. But he didn't just save us, Pastor Ralph, just to say we're saved and go to heaven. He saved us for a purpose. He saved us to do his will. He saved us to bring glory to his name. That's what he has done. So we need to do that with all lowliness and gentleness. Watch this. With long suffering. We need to have some patience as we deal with one another. As we entreat one another. Is it bearing with one another in love? You know. And sometimes it's hard bearing with some folks.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm just trying to tell the truth.
I know you're right.
But we're to bear with one another in love. Because God loves us so much. I mean, all of my idiosyncrasies and situations, God loves me. And he cares for me. He's changing me. And if God changed me, and if God changed you, he can change anybody. There's nobody outside of the reach of God. And so, again, so endeavoring to keep, he says in verse 3, endeavoring. When you talk about endeavoring to do something, that means it's going to take a concentrated effort. That means we're going to have to do something. He said endeavoring, watch this, here's the word, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God wants us to keep, to work at. See, now, okay, let me just bring it home in case I haven't said that. This is not for just, you know, churches everywhere, but it is, but for each ministry in particular. In particular, God has called men and women, boys and girls to come together in one place for a reason. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We got to keep focused on the mission. We got to keep focused on the purpose. We got to keep focused on what God has called us as individuals and as a ministry to do.
Amen.
So very important, you know. There, he says, so endeavor to keep the unity, the togetherness of the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us. But you know what? He won't override our will. God's not going to make us do what's right. He's given us what it takes to do what's right.
All right.
We have to die daily. We have to crucify this flesh afresh. You know, it used to be an old saying, say everybody's business is nobody's business. We need to be concerned about one another. We need to be there for one another. But I don't need to know what's happening with everybody, know everything. A desire to know, okay, what's happening with Mother Anthony today? Okay, what's happening with Jonah today? Hey, tell me what's happening with my... Those kind of things can hinder unity.
All right.
United, we pray for each other. And let me just throw this in. You know, trust me, this is not a rebuke message, but this is just a... let's think about what unity really means. Let's think about how we can really, really be effective for the kingdom of God. You know, we need each other. I'm like Elder Jones, I lost my point real fast on that. First point is there is, it'll come back. There is one body. We need to understand there is one body and one spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The body of Christ, the Spirit of the living God. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, there's one Lord, and his name is Jesus. There's one faith. See, there's many folks that's calling on different kind of gods and got all kind of different faith, but there's one faith. There's one God who created everything. And there's one baptism. It's not talking about water baptism here. It's talking about being washed in the blood of Jesus. It's talking about what transpired when we came to know the Lord. Do anybody remember when you accepted Jesus in your life? Mm. Was the joy bells ringing? Or was you like, Lord, give my life to Jesus now? You know. Or was it hallelujah? Thank you, Jesus. When you stop running from police and start waving at them, asking the cop for direction, hey, how do I get to mama's house? That way, nothing to hide because Jesus have came into our life.
Amen.
When I got to the point where I could see a Budweiser commercial and it didn't mean nothing. Nobody know what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about being set free in Jesus.
Yeah.
When the Lord blessed my wife and I don't know how I got up on this track, but the Lord blessed my wife and I, you all know our story, to remarry. And it's coming up on 39 years.
Praise God.
When the Lord put us back together, I needed a solid job. I started working with the college district. And mind you, it takes time to live holy.
Yes.
It don't all happen overnight. So I came home, and after a few days of working at Valley College, I told my wife I got a problem. And I told God I have a problem. I just come out of the world. And I've never seen so many pretty women in one place in my life. But I was so happy about and joyful about being saved. And my wife, who I loved from the time I saw her, back together again. I had no intentions on talking, looking, and doing nothing with anybody. And I couldn't hardly drive my little electric cart because I'm trying to drive with blinders on. Now y'all pray for me now. I'm just telling you like a T.I. is. And I got home and I couldn't take it no more. I prayed to the Lord God. I said, God, help me. I'm not who I used to be. I don't want nothing to do with none of these folks. None of these women. I need help, God. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord spoke to my heart like only God can do. If you hadn't said it to me, it might not have registered. But the Holy Spirit said to me, like only He can, you can look past all that and see your wife. It freed me up so much, I started driving that little car around. I said, Lord, she need prayer. Yeah. That one need deliverance. I knew then that God had changed my life, had turned me around and placed my feet on solid ground. And I said, thank you, Jesus. If you don't know what I'm talking about, pray for me. Amen. But God will do that. He'll do that. He said, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. Abba, Father. Who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That's who He is, three peeps. He's that God. He's that God that's looking for a united front to go out into the highways and the hedges and convince men and women to come into the house of the Lord. But guess what? It starts in the house. It starts with individuals, with us keeping our mind on Jesus. To show you how important it was for Paul to share this with the church of Ephesus, look at this in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. He says, therefore, and you know we always talk about what the therefore is there for. But sometimes they take too much time to go back and put it all up. But he's talking again to the people of God. Therefore, watch this, as the elect of God. How many know that God chose you and you didn't choose him?
Amen.
That he chose us before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And you tell me how you reconcile God's predestination with man's will.
Yeah.
Only God. God, you mean you knew from the beginning of time that I was going to be saved? And I'm running around here drunk as a skunk? And people shaking their heads, he gone. But God. Now I'm one of the elect of God. You who are in Christ are the elect of God. He said, therefore, as the elect of God, holy. Don't look at holy as a taboo word. Yes, we're holy. Royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We need to know who we are in Christ. He said, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved. Where is he going with this? He said, put on tender mercies. Kindness. He is the same apostle talking to a different church saying the same thing. So it must be important, right? Thank you, Jesus. He said, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. And meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. You know, all we have to do is trust in the Lord. Lean on his everlasting arm. He'll fight. How many know that God will fight your battle? If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, victory shall be mine. He says, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. And forgiving one another.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad day if saints of God are holding grudges, for instance, that's another killer of unity with another fellow brother, whether it's in the church or somewhere else. God, he don't want us to go there. God is a God of reconciliation. He said, we have this ministry of reconciliation, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against a brother, even as Christ forgave you, anybody been forgiven by the Lord?
Amen. Amen.
Come on, one more poll. Don't mind me today, but have you been forgiven?
Amen.
Is there a time in your life where you thought that maybe God will never forgive you, but he did?
That's right.
And if you're forgiven, you need to act like you're forgiven. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, Psalm 172 say, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm just talking to redeemed folks today. I'm talking about those who really love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. God has a purpose for us. He's raising up to be a united front. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I thank God that he gave his son. Yes, for little old me. It wasn't nobody else on the planet. Jesus would have died for Kermit. Yes. Can you believe that? Can you see it on the headline? Jesus Christ. But nobody be there to read it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for Kermit. Yes. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Well, that sure is what happened.
Amen.
And he did it for Barbara. And did it for everybody in here.
Yes.
And we always say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. We got to remember who we are.
Yes.
What we're called to do. Where he's taking us to. What he wants the world to see through us. He chose Israel not because they were mighty, but because they were little. Because they were despised.
Yes.
Because they were messed up. They were jacked up. Thank you, my lady. I got the water. Mother watches out for a brother. Let me rush through this. Philippians chapter 2. Kind of keeping the same thought going of how important unity is. Paul says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, and you could say sense instead of if, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Are we all listening to this?
Amen. Like,
we get this right. Mm-hmm. This ain't me. This is what the word is saying. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But hear it again. But in lowliness of mind. That means I don't have to be first. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. See, a man who thinks he's something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself.
That's right.
I know I ain't nothing. I know, but I am somebody in Christ. And God, I thank you. I don't have to wear a 10-gallon hat no more. You can get one that fits his little size 7. It ain't no time for having a big head no more. Don't tell me. You know, I won't take this for, but I imagine some of us in here have been there too. Don't tell me. I got it. You can say you ain't got nothing but trouble. Because now I can say God's got it. And I thank God that God's got it. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other's. Esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, which he's not saying don't look upon your own interest, but not only for your own interest, but also of the interests of others. Last scripture, Ephesians 4, 30-32. Because if we're not united, if we're not operating in love, well, first of all, something wrong. You know, if there's ever time that a saint of God feel uncomfortable with somebody, before somebody, apprehensive, something has happened to the unity of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have to allow the Spirit of God to have the right of way. You know, it's not about me, but it's about him. You know, he says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And if God is telling me to do something, guess what? I need to do it. But what gets in our way? Pride, jealousies, and all kind of other stuff get in our way, and the Holy Spirit is speaking. Let me give you this one warning today. If you know the Spirit of God, the voice of God, and times where you've heard Him and you responded appropriately, so don't get into a place in your life where something may be going on or something is uncomfortable, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you're not doing it. You're not hewing to the line. You're not applying. You're not saying, yes, Lord. You're repelling. You said, I'm not going to go there. You know what will happen with the Spirit of the Lord? It'll get a little, his voice get a little quiet. He said, I told you. And you still, if I'm still rebellious, said, I told you. And after a while, I'm not hearing his voice. And if I'm not hearing God's voice, guess whose voice I'm hearing? Yes. And it's not just mine, it's old Slewfoot. That's the devil, if y'all don't know that. Oklahoma talk. You know. So it's important for us not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Watch this. And here now he's talking again. Let all bitterness. If I find myself as a saint of God bitter about something, I need to get on my knees and ask God for mercy, please. Yes. Oh God, help, Lord. I don't want to be mad. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to have anxiety. So I need to take my problems to the throne of grace and ask God to help me. It's not my father, it's not my mother, it's not my sister, my brother, but it's me, oh Lord. And I'm standing in the need of prayer. I need a touch from you, God. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice, ill intent, and be kind. Here it is again. I guess Paul might be saying something. How many times do I have to write this? God may be saying, how many times do I have to say this? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let me put up, I'm going to throw out about five things that will cause division, will break unity. And the Lord help me, I'm going to come up about five that will show what the effect of unity is in relationship. Within the bounds of the church. When a church is divided, now I ain't talking about 3P's. Again, I ain't slapping nobody around. I'm just talking about unity versus division and how God wants us to go, okay? I'm not one of them that's up here back there. No. We're just talking about the word, right? So when a church is divided, one thing is if we are not walking in unity, we'll form all kind of cliques and stuff will form up. You'll see folks kind of group over here, group over here. And then, so everybody in one place, but all these different groups mean division and not unity. See, I'm talking about a divided church. I thank God we're not a divided church. Number two, individual sidebars take place. Looking for somebody to agree with you. Okay, look like she'll listen. Let me tell you something. Do you know about this? Yeah. Those are things that will kill unity within anybody's fellowship. A lack of respect, number three, for fellow believers will occur. We're to respect one another and to love one another. Number four, the Spirit of the Lord will be quenched. Will be like that church in Revelation 2 in Ephesus, where they had lost their first love. And God said, unless you repent and get it together, I'm going to remove the candlestick from you. God said, I'm going to remove your effectiveness. You'll be going through the motions, singing the song, preaching the word, but nothing will be happening by quenching the spirit. Growth will be stunted. Oh, but when the church is united, hallelujah. Let me just close on this. When the church is united, the praises of the Lord will be going forth. Yeah. When the church is united, the saints love to greet and meet and hug one another and pray for one another and encourage one another. When a church is divided, the Holy Ghost will come in. The Holy Spirit will fall and quicken us and give us what to do and how to do, empower us to do battle with the enemy. When a church is united, guess what? Folks will be healed in the name of Jesus. Families will be restored. Relationships will be restored. We'll see the effect of the Almighty God working on behalf of his people when the church is united. When the church is united, prayer will be going up for all men here, there, and everywhere, and not just for folks who we like. But when the church is united, we'll uphold one another. We'll cry out and intercede for one another. We'll help somebody along the way. So God has told us what it's all about, and it's about unity. Where there's unity, there's strength, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The church has always been a healing station. I never will forget Pastor Doc's father was from the 60s, he's a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. And many years ago at Open Door Church over there in Monrovia, He was bound to the wheelchair. And I'd never seen this before and never saw it again. But the Spirit of God got so high. The people were praising the Lord. The word was going forth. The worship was going forth. And somebody helped him and he got out of that wheelchair. Doc, I don't know if you know this or you ever heard about it, but he got out of that wheelchair, standing out here as a witness, and he walked about 20 feet to the back of that church, and he walked back and got in that chair. Never seen him do it again, but I say, when the Spirit of God is in the place, yeah, we can bring all of our cares, yeah, all of our needs, all of our petitions to the house of God, and God will work on our behalf. That's the God we serve. Praise God. Amen. Brother, why don't you come close out, brother? God bless you.
Yes. We can come to the Lord in prayer, and all our needs will be met. As we talked about that in our hour, he's the God who meets our needs.